This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Exodus chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Exodus 25, 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarn, fine linen thread, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in an ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And so God is commanding Moses to go to the people that they might give an offering unto God. I'd like to propose a premise and then seek to prove it by a couple of illustrations. I believe that every man willingly gives to his God, whatever his God may be. You see, the Bible acknowledges that there are many gods. For your God is that which is most important in your life, that which consumes the most of your thinking, that to which you are the most committed, that master passion of your life is in reality your God. And a person naturally, willingly gives to the support of his God. If your God is a sports car, as is the case with many men, their whole thing in life is to drive that fancy, powerful little sports car. They want heads to turn when they drive by. Their whole thing is when they get behind there and they're driving and just, you know, that you can see them when they're going down the road. Man, that's their thing. I mean, just, ooh, you know, and just the way they look. They wear Johnny little hats and man, just, you know. And you know that they just think they're the cat's, you know, pajamas or whatever. I mean, they're just, you know, this is it, man. This is it. And when a person has a sports car as his God, he willingly spends all kinds of money to support his God. So a tune-up costs $150 instead of $49. But man, you know, this is my car. You know, he goes to the parking lot and he parks crossways across two parking spaces rather than straight in, because nobody's going to dent my little God, you know. And so he'll spend all kinds of money willingly because he's supporting his God. If a woman has as her God, the big thing of her life is dressing in the latest fashions. Again, wanting to turn the eyes of the people. When she walks in, they look, wow, look at that. Where do you suppose she got that dress? You know, I mean, and that's your big thing, to just always be the fashion plate, to just always be impeccably dressed in the latest fashion, then you will spend all kinds of money willingly to support your God. In fact, if you hear there's a sale at Nordstrom, there's no keeping you home. And if you don't have the cash, you'll use the card. And so what if it takes you 6 months to pay for it? Man, you know, this is it. This is small. It's gorgeous. And you want people to just look and say, wow, what a gorgeous dress or jacket or whatever, you know. I mean, and that's your whole thing. That's your bag. That's your God. And no matter what a person's God is, a boat, whatever, they willingly spend all kinds of money for their God. Having established that premise, now thinking of the true, the eternal, the living God, the question rises, why should I give to God who has everything? What could God possibly ever need from me? What do I have that God could ever need? I mean, he created the whole universe. And if that isn't enough, he could next week create another entire whole universe. Out beyond this one. Lay it out there somewhere. And he could surround this whole universe with other universes. So what in the world could I have that he would possibly need? What could I ever give to God? And why should I give to God when he has everything already? I obviously do not give to God because he's in financial jeopardy. Though, unfortunately, there are many TV evangelists that would have you to think this. That God is about ready to go out of business. He's going to file bankruptcy next Tuesday if you don't today write that letter and enclose that generous offering, you know. God's about broke again. He hasn't been handling his money very well lately, and they're greatly in debt, you know, and his whole program's ready to go down the tubes now if you don't come in and help poor God out. Not so. God in the 50th Psalm said to the people concerning the animals that they were sacrificing to him, look, I don't need your animals. The animals in the forest are all mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't come and ask you for a handout. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. So our giving is not to help poor God out because he's impoverished. Anything that I might give to God is, in a technical sense, already his. He has allowed me the use of it for a time, but it really all belongs to him. He could take it all away from me tomorrow if he wanted to. I mean, he could snuff out my life tonight, and then whose would my possessions be, you see? I mean, he could strip any of us just at any time of all that we have. And so it isn't that, you know, God needs me to give to him. And so I don't give out of necessity, God's necessity. But I do give out of obedience, because God has asked me to give. God said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. So in obedience to the request of God, I give to God. God has declared that a tenth of my increase belongs to him, and that I was to bring it into his storehouse. And should I seek to withhold that tenth from him, he said that I was guilty of robbing from him. And so, in obedience, I give to God. I also give to God as a demonstration of my love for him. Love always seeks to demonstrate itself through its gifts. If you really love a person, you want to show them that you love them. And so if you know that they're desiring something very much, you enjoy getting it for them so that you can express the fact that you love them because you were willing to sacrifice and get this gift for them. It's just a way that we show love. It's the way by which God showed that He loved us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so love seeks to demonstrate itself by its gifts. I love God. I want to demonstrate to God the fact that I love Him. And how can I demonstrate to God that I love Him? By giving to Him. But the question comes, what can I possibly give to God that He really needs? And if you come right down to it, I can't give anything to God that He needs. He's got everything. But when I think of what can I give to God, the first thing that usually comes into my mind, which is wrong, is I think, I can give money to God, as though that's the most important gift that I can give to God. That is not the most important thing that you can give to God. That's probably the thing that God needs least from you. It's true that God here asked the people for gold, for silver, and for bronze. But that isn't all that He asked for. He asked for yarn, thread, even goat's hair, animal skins. A lot of times a person feels, I want to give to God, but I don't have anything to give, because you're thinking of money. I don't have any money to give God, so I don't have nothing to give God. Not so. There in the camp of Israel, God says, now, go out and tell the people to give me an offering. Gold, silver, brass, yarn, thread, goat's hair. Hey, anybody can go out to his goat and grab a hunk of hair and take it in and give to the Lord, no matter how poor you are. The thing in giving to God is that it is not the amount of gift, the amount of the gift that God ever considers. Which to me is an interesting thing. You remember the disciples were with Jesus one day and they were standing in the temple and they were watching the people as they put their gifts in the treasury. Now Jesus had made an earlier allusion to the way some of them gave to the treasury. And He said, when you give, don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees who have a band going before them. Trumpets blaring and all, drawing attention to the people so that everybody can see how much they're giving, So here comes the guy in with a brass band, and he's walking, proudly, and he comes to the treasury, and he takes his check, and here, folks, see what I'm giving to God, and a big, pomp and all. God, no. Jesus said, no, don't give that way. And so they were watching all this big parade. They were watching this big show as these people were placing their great offerings in the treasury. Some little old widow woman slipped up and dropped in a mite, which is 1/10 of a penny, and scurried off through the crowd, probably embarrassed even to drop that in. And Jesus said to His disciples, He turned and said, did you see that? Yeah. Do you know that she gave more than all of the rest? What are you talking about, Lord? That was just a mite. That's only 1/10 of a penny. Jesus said, yes, but you see, all of the rest of them were giving out of their abundance. That was surplus. This woman gave of her very substance. This is all she has. And the Lord measured not by the amount of the gift, but by what it cost to give.
That's always the measurement that God looks at the gift, not at how much you give, but what did it cost you to give? What did it cost you? David wanted to buy the threshing floor of Ornan for the temple of God. And Ornan said, "Hey, I'll give it to you, David. You can have it, man." And David answered and said, "No, I'm not going to give God something that cost me nothing. It's not a real gift if it doesn't cost. And I'll not give to God something that cost me nothing." And so God measures the gift by what it cost me. Now, God desires more than my money that I give him my life. And you see, if I don't give him my life, then it is, well, he really doesn't want my money. Giving your money is totally meaningless. In fact, it's almost deceptive. Because a person so often thinks, well, I gave God, $5,000 last year. He ought to be satisfied. And you think that you don't have any further responsibility to God because you bought him off, You paid your dues. And too many times people look at giving to God in money as paying dues to God. And thus they have a sense of well-being or complacency because I paid my dues. But if you haven't given God your life, he doesn't even want your money. And I think that it is totally wrong for the church to go to the world outside and try to solicit funds from the world for the program of God. I'm opposed to that. Because you may be bringing someone comfort and a false security because of the gift that he has made. When in reality, if he hasn't given his life to God, that gift can't buy him anything and has no value to him at all, either temporal or eternal. Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church concerning those in Macedonia, he said they first gave of themselves to God. That's always first. Giving your life to God is first. And then they gave to us, he said. But the most important thing is that they first gave themselves to God. And that's what God is seeking first from you, that God would give, that you would give yourself to God. And if you have not given your life to God, he wants nothing else from you. But have you ever thought about perhaps giving God some of your time? On Saturday evening when we gather upstairs with the men for prayer, it's always to me just a very warm thought that these fellas have gathered with me this evening that we might give an hour of our lives to God. Lord, we've gathered here tonight just to spend some time with you. We desire, Lord, to spend some time with you, just to seek your guidance, your wisdom for our lives. Lord, we want to spend some time with you so we can just tell you how much we love you and how much we appreciate, Lord, all you've done for us. And Lord, to let you know that we are depending completely upon you to lead us and to guide us into the future. And I love it when the men will gather to just spend some time with God. You see, we could be spending our time watching TV or engaging in a lot of activities that other men do on Saturday night, but we've chosen to spend some time with God and just give God some time. And that to me is always just a great thing. Just give God our time. And you know, I have found something very interesting. Whenever I've decided to just give God some time, spend some time with God, I've always found that God was waiting for me. No matter when I decided to spend time with God, the middle of the night, in a traffic jam on the freeway, Lord, I'm just going to spend some time with you. Looks like we're not going to go anywhere for a while. I found that God is always waiting for me. Never once in my entire life when I've come and said, Lord, I just want to spend some time with you, has he said, well, Chuck, I'm rather busy right now. Could you come back in a little while? But he's always there and he's always available. Hey, he is the creator of the whole universe. He's governing the whole universe, and yet he is always available for me to spend time with him. That's rather humbling to me, and it really sort of points out almost a disgraceful thing that I would spend so little time with him. Maybe some of you would like to give God some of your time. Some of you men, we have the all-night prayer watch. We have some blank spots in it right now. The phones are open. People call all night long with needs, with prayer requests. And we need men to be there to answer the phones, to pray for them, and to just generally pray for the church. Have you ever thought about just giving God some of your time? Perhaps God has given you a special talent, a special ability. Have you ever thought about giving God some of your talent, some of your ability? Some of you are able to relate very well to people over the phone. You love talking to people. You just enjoy that. We've just opened up an 800 line for the Word for Today radio broadcast. We're anticipating hundreds of calls every day from people all over the United States who will be responding to the broadcast. Some for tape, some for books, and some for just help. Someone to pray with them, counsel with them. We're going to need people who are gifted in just relating to people over the phone, to take these calls, to talk to these people, to encourage them, to pray for them. Maybe you'd like to volunteer and just give some of that talent to the Lord. Can you type? Maybe you'd like to volunteer that talent to the Lord, typing up some manuscripts so we can get some more of the booklets printed up. Can you paint? You know, in a facility this large, there's always something that's needing painting. My wife the other day said, honey, now look at the metal down here where this beam is fastened. She said, that needs painting. And I looked, I said, yes, that does need painting. And it still needs painting. This morning, as I was going through this door here, that thing is so messed up. There's chunks and it's pits out of it, and it looks like the pits, really, and it needs painting. Always things around in a facility this large that need touching up, need painting, need. And maybe you'd like to just give that talent to the Lord. Come and take a paintbrush for an hour or so and touch up some of these things around here so that the house of God will, you know, look spiffy and sharp, and people come in and they think, hey, somebody cares, you know. There are many things that we can give to God other than money. Our time, our talents. There are a lot of elderly people shut in, lonely. Giving some time to go and visit them. To just sit there, maybe run an errand for them. Go get them a loaf of bread or something. Whatever they might need. You know, if you will start giving like this, you're going to come to an interesting discovery. And that is, you can never give without receiving. There have been many times when I've gone to minister to a shut-in, an invalid, and having visited with them for a half hour or so, I come out having been ministered to. I receive more from that visit than they did. I've had some of these shut-ins who have encouraged me so much in the Lord and in the things of the Lord. I went in to speak a word of cheer and comfort and help to them. And man, I came out just floating, edified because of the depth of their experience in Christ that they've achieved through the suffering that they've been going through. And rather than ministering to them, I was ministered to. But I find that that is so true. I never give but what God doesn't give back to me. Measured out, pressed down, running over. That's the principle of giving. But how am I to give to God? Well, God said to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring to me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart." The only gifts that God is really interested in are those willing gifts from your heart. God does not want anything from you that you would give in a grudging way. God doesn't want you to ever resent what you've given to Him. It is better not to give anything than to give with resentment. Or grudgingly. Because God doesn't even count that. In fact, it goes as a negative against you. You're looking for a positive. Well, I gave to God, you know. And you're looking for a positive, and He puts it down as a negative. It's a junk from them, you know. And it goes against you. See, you're better off not to do it rather than having something go against you. It's an insult to God for you to complain about what you've given to Him. Had a lady come up the other day with some tithe receipts for the last couple of years. She'd given $510 over the last few years to the Lord here at Calvary. But she was bitter, angry. I sat down and wrote her out a check for $510. And I said, "Now, don't give anything again, ever, until you can give with a willing heart, a loving heart, a cheerful heart to the Lord. Don't want this to go against you. You keep it until you can give it with a heart of love, cheerfully." Our giving should never be out of pressure. Paul said that the giving shouldn't be by constraint. And that is why it is absolutely wrong for churches to go around in a finance committee and collar the people and solicit from them a pledge for the budget this year. Because that's pressure. Hey, this guy's my doctor and this guy's my banker, and here they're sitting in my house now wanting to know how much I'm going to give the church. Well, you know, I feel pressured to give more than I really want to. And, you know, you feel that pressure. No. It should never be under pressure. That's wrong. Not out of constraint. I should never give with the feeling I have to give to God.
You don't have to. God made you a free moral agent. And he will never force you to give to him. Here the people are told to give willingly and from the heart. If you can't give that way, then don't give at all. That is always the criteria for giving. We are told that God loves a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek is hilarious. So the offering time should be the most hilarious time of the entire service. It should be a time of great hilarity. As we give to God with a hilarious heart, that's the kind of giving God will honor. That's the kind of giving God will accept. Have you ever stopped to think of what a privilege it is to give to God? You know that God should ever receive anything from me and from my hand is an act of grace on his part. Because you see, he really doesn't need it. And yet he acts like he's very appreciative. You know, I give to God, it's a privilege. And God blesses me. He says, oh, that's great here, you know. And he returns and gives to me. And he acts as though it's just, you know, like something that he really needed, you know, though he didn't. Yet he blesses me as though I had really done something when in reality it's just been a great privilege to give to my God, to my Creator, something of me, something of what I have, and to give to God. He always seems so appreciative. Giving to God has to be one of the greatest privileges that God has ever given to us, and it is a privilege that I have never yet seen abused. But you know, I know many who have reaped priceless dividends through exercising the privilege of giving to God. Because you'll discover you will never outgive him. No man has yet given to God, but what God hasn't returned it to that person in 1,000 different ways over and over again. And so in reality, you're the one who ultimately is the one who gains from your giving. It's a privilege that God gives to you. It isn't an obligation. It should never be done out of pressure, never done grudgingly, but willingly from the heart with hilarity shall we give to God. And if you can't do it that way, hey, wise up. Don't do it. He doesn't want it. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for all that you have given to us. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We want to give to you, Lord, because you have given to us so much. Lord, we could never give to you enough after all you've given to us. Lord, we pray today that you will speak to our hearts. Speak to those, Lord, who have been having a problem with their giving. Let them look at their lives and their priorities and discover what it is that they do give willingly to. What it is that they're glad and happy to spend money on, that they might determine who their God really is. May they give themselves, Lord, to you. And then whatever you may ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't try to give anything to God until you've first given yourself. If you haven't given your life to God as yet, then today's a great time to do it. Just to say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to walk in fellowship with you. And when you've really given yourself to Him and He is indeed your God, your Lord, then the rest, easy. Because your heart will be so filled with love that you'll want to show that love. You'll want to spend time with Him. What would you think of a person that was constantly professing their total, deep, complete love for you, but never called you, never came to visit, never spent any time with you? Oh, they had time for other things, to be sure. And yet they say, oh, but I love you so much. Oh, you mean everything to me. Oh, I can't live without you. You begin, I think, after a while to question the sincerity of that love. If they have time for the ball games, and time for the movies, and time for this and time for that, but never any time for you. As John said, let's not love in word, but in deed and in truth. God help us. May the Lord be with you, and may He watch over you, and may He speak to you about the priorities of your life. May we examine ourselves, judge ourselves, so we won't be judged of God. And may we give and learn the joy and the blessing of giving from a willing heart to the Lord. Whatever He asks. Whatever we have that we can, let's offer it to Him. You know, the end of this story with Moses, and he went to the people and said, this is what God wants. They started bringing in all this stuff until Moses finally said, stop. We've got too much already. Can't take anything else. Quit. You know, don't bring anything more. Glorious when people give with a willing heart. That's the glorious thing around here. No financial problems at all. Why? Because the people give with a willing heart. Because we love Him. God bless you. Give you a beautiful week. In Jesus' name.